I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Smash TV, otro gran éxito de los recreativos que Super Nintendo te pone a toda pantalla. Para uno o dos jugadores, tendrás que acabar con todos antes de pasar a otro nivel. Super, super divertido. Solo podía ser de Super Nintendo.
Super, super.
Yep. Super, super Nintendo.
That was the only thing I caught in that.
Look out. Hey everybody, what's going on? This is Play Retro, where we talk about old retro video games. I'm one of your hosts, Scott Johnson, and life is one big game show, and I'm here to win that game show. And while I do it, I'm going to pick up on all those stacks of money, y'all keep dropping all over the arena. You'll get a tip, but hands off my fat stack, son.
Yeah, fat stacks, baby. Totally 90s. And yep. I am your other host, Brian Dunaway, and I am no muscle-bound running man from the late 80s looking to win big money, big prizes. I love it. Type of early 90s arcade quarter-pumping gamer trying to shower my brain with dual-stick handfuls of serotonin-laced gratuitous violence of game show humor. No, no, no. I'm just here for that VCR and 1,500-inch screen TV. Mm. I'll buy that for a dollar.
Oh. Yeah. That's what he would say.
Yeah, yeah. RoboCop.
That's the guy. If that sounded familiar to you, any of that stuff, you might want to get yourselves excited because we're going to talk about Smash TV. Smash TV, one of my favorite arcade games of all time. And turns out, let's just say it now, the very best port of this is the Super Nintendo port of the game.
Oh, yeah. So, spoiler, we're going to talk about why. But yes, Smash TV on the SNES
was real good.
The tops.
Yeah.
But I was kind of shocked at my runner-up, because I remember not liking it back in the day, but after a deeper look, kind of enjoyed it.
Yeah, I like it a lot on that. In fact, I think I might like it more than the arcade port or the arcade version of the game, which I know is that's some harsh thing to say. All right, I understand. We'll have that fight
smash
later.
You.
But we're also going to talk about Total Carnage as well. Which, by the way, the announcer references in Smash TV. I'm going to play that for you. Check this out.
Total Carnage.
That's from Smash
Bingo.
TV. Yeah, that's from the Smash TV game. Anyway, those two games are kind of important. One of them you may not have heard much about. We'll talk about why. But it also meant a lot of things, like, hey, what else would come out of Midway soon from some of those same people? Well, maybe people that liked blood and gore.
We're going to see something good coming soon.
Yep, that's all coming up.
Yeah, yeah.
Check this out. I went to a lake thing for a family reunion. I mentioned this on Core as well, but I'm going to mention it here. Everybody wants my Ambernick. Yeah, even old people, like old people were like, that's so cool. That looks like the little one I bought for Johnny back in the day or whatever. I'm like, it's like a little Game Boy looking ass thing. And they all got real excited about it. Everybody wanted to touch it and play with it.
Wow, this sounds like such a 90s commercial, like you sitting around at the lake, everybody's drinking Mountain Dew,
yep,
and you know, swinging on those rope swings and flying out and and then a Nintendo commercial breaks into the middle of that with you sitting on your little recliner thing, your little outside plastic chair recliner thing, and you're playing the Game Boy and everybody's like, what you got there, son?
Yeah, what you got there, boy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is kind of
that idea.
Yeah, it went down. It pretty much went down like that. And by the way, this is a nice report to be able to say that screen is useless when you wear polarized sunglasses.
Interesting.
But if you take those off, it basically just makes it black. It just ruins it. But if you take them off, take off your sunglasses and you're in the sun, the screen's pretty good in the sun. It's not bad.
Yeah.
But your eyes are not as protected as they would be if you're wearing your thing. So you got to make a sacrifice.
You're squinting, right? You were like, I can't see. Yeah.
It was fun. We spent the whole day, one of the days, the entire day on the beach. And I would pull that thing out under the canopy and play a few rounds of Pokemon. Now, let me say this about Pokemon. I think I've come to the conclusion that the best Pokemon game ever made might have been the Game Boy Advance Ruby and Sapphire games.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. I can argue with that.
Yeah. And I played Ruby. And even though I still I think it's the best of the Pokemon games, I still don't think I understand why people love the loop that is Pokemon. And I understand parts of it are cool, like leveling up your Pokemon, and these fights are fun. I like turn-based fights. Like, all that stuff's cool. I like what you got to do in town. The stories are fun and light, all that. What I don't like is just running around in the weeds and random encounters. I hate it.
But hate you gotta go harvest the Pokemans so you can be the ultimate trainer.
Yeah, that's true. That's a lot, though. 150 Pokemon base, then plus whatever extras were there by the time this GBA version came out. Like, it's a lot. It's a lot of Pokemon.
But you gotta collect them all. Well, it's one of those games, and one of the things that really works about these games is the slow. You're not leveling up necessarily as much as you're progressing. And it's just like, but it's just little blips of progression, right? You don't make a whole bunch of progression. So you got to get out there. You got to grind. And you got to do the thing. So I'm with you. But yeah, I've never been huge into Pokemon, but I kind of get it. So yeah, Ruby. You said Ruby was the Ruby one? Is that one
I have Ruby. There was Ruby and Sapphire were the two era, which, you know, they always release them in two, and then there's two.
Which is so much. Like, can I just say, that's such bullshit.
I know. They're just getting all
you. You know I want both. Well, you get this one, you get this special Pokemon.
Yeah, they're trying to. That is,
I want both.
You're absolutely right. They're just trying to get your cash. That's what
this is. Yeah, it's in the song. You got to catch them all. Come on.
Yeah, it is. And also, so what I do instead is, after I played that for a bunch, I'm like, all right, I get it, but I don't get it still. So I'm just going to go play Pokemon Pinball on the same system. And that game rocks. And I do want to catch them all in there. That's my favorite Pokemon game ever made. Pokemon Pinball rules.
That is. Yeah, I can see. That's totally you.
All right.
Now, in the Pokemon Pinball, did we talk about this one before? I'm trying to remember if I've played the Pokemon Pinball.
Oh, you've got to get in there.
They have pinball, if they just kind of skin it, it's like, here's a pinball game, and here's here's a pinball game, and we skinned it with Pokemon creatures. Or did they go all in and understand the idea of Pokemon, where, you know, they work some of the game mechanics in, or they just skinned that bad boy?
No, what happened? It's the latter. It's a very specific to Pokemon experience. It's very good pinball in its own right, but everything you're doing in there is like reminiscent of something else you might do, like how you evolve your Pokemon, how you catch them in the first place, how you do bonus levels, like all this stuff is great. And there's two tables, a Ruby and a Sapphire table.
What?
And they're two totally different tables, so there's a lot of variety there. And I could play that all day. I freaking love that game.
I'm down for this. That sounds good.
Yeah, you got to play it, dude. It's good. It's really good. Plays wonderfully on that little device, too. So cannot say enough about it. Hey, you spent a lot of time looking like Mr. 90s Man. Tell me about what you did this week.
Oh, so during 1995, in the year 2000, I was working in the IT field, as I continue to do today. But during that time, we were in what was known kind of like, you'd call like a protoplasmic state of evolution of bringing the internet from, you know, schools and military and laboratories into people's homes. Mm-hmm. And so there was a short time before corporate greed stepped in, and that time was between like 95 and 2000, and things kind of changed really fast.
Yep.
And there is something I discovered this past week called ProtoWeb.
Yep.
What is that, you may ask? Well, it's a project that is trying to bring back kind of a snapshot of that era, from the 95 to 2000 era, and you can use a retro browser to look at what they've rebuilt of the internet from that time. They're using archive.org to rebuild a lot of that. They've got some people, they got some hands in there, and they're physically making it so that when you click on a link from some type of restored archive.org version of 1998's Yahoo, when you click on a link, it actually goes somewhere. Mm. Archive.org is amazing. It has great snapshots of websites in a, you know, and you can click on some stuff and it'll sometimes go, but most times it's broken, right? No. It's a very broken experience. But you know, what you gonna do? This is what Proto Web is kind of doing. It's kind of going, dude, you know, we're gonna recreate that situation as faithfully as we can. And so I've been messing with that. I've been listening to WANamp. There's a whole bunch of shoutcast channels to listen to. I went on the Yahoo search engine, looked at some stuff. There's the Sega system, like the Sega website from that time, is there. Like you can play some Shockwave games, like Nights into Dreams and stuff, where they've made like these little mini games, stuff you would never be able to access probably anywhere else, because it's becoming increasingly more difficult to play anything this Shockwave based. And we got a question about that not long ago, and that was one of the things that kind of stuck with me. It was like, oh, we're covering all these retro games. So there was a period between 95 and 2000 where people were still playing games, but there was this whole new, you know, burgeoning market of Shockwave games.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so those have been kind of lost for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
But with if you use something like PCEM, which is a PC emulator allowing you to run Windows 95, Windows 98, and you're going, but there's already virtual machines, Brian. Using that voice again. There are virtual machines. However, these projects, PCEM, are specifically looking to emulate the hardware so you can play retro games.
Yeah.
So you can play a whole bunch of DOS games with these kind of setups, and it's awesome.
ProtoWeb
allows you to have an even greater immersive experience because you can log into these, your PCEM, run your ProtoWeb, which is running through a proxy.
Yeah.
So what happens is you go through a proxy that is like creating this web experience.
Yeah.
And there it is.
Yep.
Boy, I could go on for days about ProtoWeb, and so much so that I actually signed up to be a contributor today. And I'm working on bringing TexAvery.com to ProtoWeb.
Oh, that's right. I forgot you owned that. You bastard.
It is its greatest, the height of its popularity was during the late 90s. Mm. It was outperforming all their websites that I was doing. And you know where that most of the traffic was coming from?
Mm-hmm.
France. The French people loved the Tex Avery, even though it was in English. A lot of the website didn't depend on a lot of text or writing. It wasn't Chuck, who was my good friend, who's he started this whole thing.
Yeah.
He was a huge Tex Avery fan, and he didn't write a bunch of stuff. He put pictures of Tex Avery stuff and clips of Tex Avery stuff you couldn't get to because it wasn't available.
Of course.
And so we're bringing that back.
You're bringing it back. Yeah. No, this is great.
Bring it back.
I love it. Look at you messing around the Texan 2 website here on this proto web business.
Yeah. Oh, we got. You will play that video. So when you log into something like that, they have a pre-build of and I'm going to send it to you, Scott, and it's the PCEM, and it's got a Netscape communicator and Navigator on there.
Wow.
So, remember that? There was two different versions of Netscape.
Yep.
There was it started out with Navigator, right?
Yep.
And then you moved into Communicator, and it's also got like Internet Explorer 5. You know, dude, it's just such a nostalgia trip. But I did get questioned not long ago. Somebody said, but why? And I'm like, because preservation, dude.
Yeah, man, preservation.
Yeah, it's like...
I'm pro-preservation regardless of what you're preserving. I think it's great.
Yeah, I watched Strong Bad videos this morning, listened to WANamp.
Yeah. Whole old experience, all that we used to do.
The whole old experience. Yeah. Then I popped in to Newgrounds and played a couple of Flash or Shockwave games.
Did you download ICQ and get that all going?
Yeah, that kind of stuff's not functional yet. Email, ICQ, all that kind of stuff. You got some IRC experiences, like if you wanted to pop in there and do that. Actually, if you go to like to the Shoutcast in there, there's a whole bunch of IRC. So I was like hanging out in IRC rooms, kind of like Discord people, if you don't know what it is.
Yeah, IRC is old school forums and chat.
Yeah, it's like Discord where you could talk live and that kind of stuff. Yeah. And it's cool. And but I was listening to the music. We're all listening to the same music. We're all doing the same things. They have this community event. There's Hexen right now I'm looking at on the old id software. Somebody restored all the links on that. So you can look at all those wallpapers and descriptions and interviews, all from 97, 98.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're single-handedly changing the world. That's what's going on.
I'm not single-handedly doing it. I am just tossing in my little pittance to ProtoWeb Project because I was there between 95 and 98 making tons of websites, doing tons of internet things, and all this stuff. Every time they mention something, I'm like, yeah, I remember that, and I know how to do that. I know how to get there, and I can use my memory, and I can get you guys to this place. So finally going to be making use of it.
Nice.
Oh, speaking of use, no Usenet either. So that was a big thing during that time.
Yeah.
But yeah, not there. So yeah, if you go to Yahoo, if you don't remember what Yahoo is, because it's not like it. Yahoo's like what? Like a news source now or something?
Well, it's still a search engine. You can go search with it.
What would you find with it, though? It was a curated search engine back in the day, and that's how Google ate their lunch, because it was, you know, a group of people making decisions about the quality of websites. Yahoo's search engine, in some ways, was so superior to Google.
In some ways, curation was better, but then...
The curation was so much better, because you would get, you know, there was no algorithms. There was a human making human ethical decisions. Right?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. And I'm looking right now at it. It's still there. You can make it your default search engine. It's still an engine, but it's not one people think of, you know?
No.
We're not like, ooh, Yahoo, hurry up and get that on my phone. Well, no one thinks about that.
Oh, but just quickly, I really ate up some time there. Apologies for just going on about ProtoWeb. It's just such a huge project when you really get down to it. I didn't realize it would take up so much of my life, but it did. I ordered this.
What?
Can you see this? Strawberry Shortcake, Atari 2600, Parker Brothers, I believe.
That's my sisters would play that. They'd love that.
Dude, this is, was this musical matchups?
Yeah.
I didn't even know this existed, but I did, while I was doing all my researching, somehow or another, I ended up on Barbie Sargent. She was an American Greetings illustrator. That's the greeting card company. During the 70s, and like in 72, she created this character. And so then in 77, they actually redid it. And she had to end up suing American Greetings to get it back into her hands, because they claimed that she was doing it work for hire. And after she won that lawsuit, there was already dolls and cartoon stuff coming out. And instead of being an artist demanding something, she literally just said, I just wanted the credit. Here it is back. Do what you do.
Wow.
And I'm like, holy Moses.
You gave up some cash there.
Gave up so much. I mean, Strawberry Shortcake is just, you know, that was some big money.
I'm going to send you something. Just reminded me of it. My daughter gave me these two things for my birthday, and I totally forgot to show them.
If you don't know what Strawberry Shortcake is, by the way.
Yeah, just go look it up.
The best part about Strawberry Shortcake was the smelly dolls.
Yeah, they smelled. Right, so, when there was a blueberry girl, she smelled good.
Yeah. It was all just smelly, dessert-based things.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, Pac-Man.
Yeah, look at this. My daughter found these two old cartridges somewhere, Atari 2600 cartridges. I always forget that Atari called them game programs.
That's right.
But anyway, that's that horrible port of Pac-Man with the square pellets.
Terrible.
Or the
terrible. Some people actually like it, though. They like the largeness of the blocks, and they like that it scrolls off screen. And we actually have some Pac-Man later on that kind of does some of that, but I hated it. It wasn't the arcade Pac-Man to me, man.
But this is 80 and 81, and I'm going to hang these up somewhere. I don't know where. They're all banged up. I love when they're beat up like this. It's great.
Yes.
Big fan.
Can I just go ahead and preach one more time while we're doing this?
Go, preach.
I'm so frustrated still. I've talked about this in the past. I'm not a collector. In other words, I'm not using my retro equipment as investments, other than investing into the idea that these things are being preserved.
Yeah.
So I get really frustrated when things increase in price because of a scarcity for whatever. Usually I'm fine if it's just scarce because there just wasn't a lot of them. But when people go, they start pulling them off the market and putting them in boxes, you know, little clear acrylic boxes, and they put them on shelves, and then they, you know, see how much they'll, you know, increase in price. I hate that crap.
Yeah, you don't like that. You want everyone to share in the glory that was these retro experiences. I understand.
Right, but I will say this. For free, I picked up 2 13-inch TV VCR combos this past week, and they're both worth about $150 a piece.
You have more TVs now.
Audra actually went in, because I had a 19-inch with a VCR TV combo, and she was like, okay. And then, like, I brought these 2 13-inches, and I put them right below it, and she walked in there, and she walked back out and says, are they multiplying?
Yeah, they're having babies now. That's great.
Are they having babies? And I said, no.
Yeah.
I said, I'm not a hoarder. Get off my case.
Yeah. Your doctor's going to go, you got some kind of weird body changes happening. You're morphing, and we don't know why. Oh, it's because you have 14 CRTs on faced at you all the time during the day.
Tell you the saddest part of it? Yeah. I went to another place today, also one of those donation-based places, and I just happened to go around the side, and they had a bunch of trash bins. They didn't have anything inside. They had a bunch of trash bins outside, and there was a whole huge bin of, like, Sony Triniton 19-inch CRTs in beautiful condition. Fantastic. I was like, oh, my God. I'm like, I walked over to the bin. I'm like, what do they do with it? And I looked, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Somebody cut the cable off, like the base of it. So the VGA cable, which ran into the unit itself, was cut off. And I was like, oh, that'd be a pain. I was like, oh, yeah. And then I realized they were doing it there.
Yeah.
They were getting these things in, and they were cutting the cables off of them.
That's what
makes it for disposal.
That's because that makes it so people don't go dumpster diving at their stuff and take their shiz. That's why, man.
So I was standing outside, you know, crying.
Yeah. Shedding tears of sadness.
Yeah, it would be really offensive. Like that, like the Indian guy from the 70s, that wasn't really a Native American. Who was it? Who was that guy that was crying? Was he really a Native American?
No, he was Italian, that guy.
He was Italian, yeah.
Gosh dang it, my earphones are breaking. Hold on a second. Why are these coming off?
I don't know, but man, I did not mean to distract from our Smash TV conversation.
Frickin' geez, Louise.
I apologize.
Hold on. We're going to put them in the hole. Okay, get in there. Okay. Are we going to hold together, Sony? Sony, are we going to keep our headset together here? Jeez Louise.
Yeah. So if you're listening to the podcast, you should have fast-forwarded to what minute is it now?
400 minutes. I have no
400
idea.
Minutes. Smash TV and Total Carnage.
Smash TV and Total Carnage. That's right, baby. We're going to talk about those right now.
Shall we play a game?
Sure, why not? Let's talk about this one.
Let's go!
Might recognize this game was about to suck a bunch of your quarters in for the year it came out, which was 1999.
Yes, right there at Y2K. No, it didn't come out in 1999. It was set in 1999.
Oh, it was set in 99. Why am I thinking 99? Because yeah, there's no way it was 99.
Yes, it's set in the year 1999 when you play as a contestant in an ultraviolet game show of the future.
Yeah, that's what it was. You walked out there. Okay, up to this point you had a couple of examples of games that may or may not be able to be classified as dual stick shooters. And the ones I would think of would be like Robotron 2084 or...
Also Eugene Jarvis and the spiritual predecessor to Smash TV.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what this is. It feels a lot like that, but this one is so much more graphical. It's so much more... I don't know what the word I'm looking for is. It's more...
Everything
is
the word you're looking for. It is more action. It is more graphics. It is more. It really tapped. It was the first really dual stick shooter that just really tapped into me so much so that I literally forget that I'm spending money. It was so easy to drop $20.
Oh yeah,
into Smash TV, and it's just such an adrenaline fueled. Masterpiece, baby. That's the word, because you're like destroying stuff.
Yep.
Just everything is just being blown up. It's just like going, you know, just it is such a what's the word I'm looking for? We're both having word problems with Smash TV.
Visceral. Yeah, it was a visceral experience. Sure.
There you go.
I would say it was like, yeah, just felt like, oh my gosh, I almost killed all of these. I'm putting another quarter in or 50 cents.
Yeah, unending hordes is what was going on. And such satisfaction in the fact that you are still living as long as you did. It made you feel like you were kind of invincible, but at the same time, very vulnerable. And there's a reason for that. And I got a chance to kind of analyze a little bit closer this week when I was playing Smash TV. Yeah. I did not. When you play this, it's top down dual stick shooter, like we had talked about Smash TV is. And when you're and that was better than back when you used to play like what's the one with the robot and you're walking into the walls and you're constantly facing the characters.
Well, Robotron, or are you talking Berserk?
No. There you go, Berserk. Berserk. All right. I want you to play the name game. So you this time you're mostly pulling back, right? So you're walking backwards a lot and shooting forward. You're trying to constantly get away from the hordes that are coming at you.
Yeah.
And I discovered that the different hordes, if you walk into some of the hordes, and if you're shooting, if you walk in backwards and you collide with them, even though you're not shooting them, you kill them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize this.
Yeah.
And so,
not that it mattered much. You're still going to die real quick and put more quarters in this damn machine. The machine was a bastard.
This machine was a machine at getting your quarters out of your pocket. Yeah. And the trick was when you would back up like that, you into the simple characters, which are just like, this guy's swinging at you. Then there's like these bat guys who have bats and they're swinging at you.
Yeah.
And you can't walk into them.
No.
In firing backwards because they will kill you.
It's just the weenie little zombie guys that you can fight that way.
Yeah. Yeah. There's mutants or something. There's plain old mutants just walking around zombified hordes. You can kill them easily with just about anything. But the pickups were so cool.
Yeah. I'm going to just say it. This game is 100% not a ripoff, but it is a...
Oh, it's a ripoff.
An homage, if you can call it that, to The Running Man. That's the whole concept. Futuristic sport, or not sport, but game show, basically. And you're running around the way Arnold did in that movie. And there's a guy who's in charge, who's a lot like Richard Dawson.
Yeah.
And he's an a-hole, and he's got girls on each arm, and it's all very hyper cyberpunk 80s vision, ridiculous over-the-top stuff. This boss fight right here is hilarious. I love this thing.
You'll need it. So is this the first boss fight with Mutoid Man?
This is Mutoid Man, yep.
Yeah, Mutoid Man. Yeah, I like that guy. And the boss fights are amazing. They kind of reminded me of Zelda bosses, where the bosses are like 4 or 5 times bigger than you, and you have to come up with specific types of attacks to encounter them, or to destroy them. But this time, this thing, you're seeing a lot of damage hit the monster or the boss, and stuff is flying off from him all the time, blood, gore, everything. But man, it's like you never are making really real big progress. You think you're always on the cusp of thinking, I'm just about killed him.
Yeah, he's a bullet sponge. That's what he is.
He is a bullet sponge, absolutely. And he just keeps getting more and more haggard and more bloodied. And you're thinking, oh my gosh, there's no way this boss is going to live. And then you think, oh, I think I finally figured it out. He's vulnerable from behind because if I shoot, because he only shoots like in front of him. There's like a 45-degree angle right behind him that he can't shoot towards.
Right.
And you think, I'll just walk behind him, but then he rolls you over with his wheels.
Yeah. And it's also important to remember that pickups and power-ups are really important in these fights. Your regular old bullet thing, for example, is just bouncing off this guy's metal shit. But as soon as you get like the grenade launcher, you just pepper spray that guy with grenades and he's, you'll take him down or you'll
eventually
work him.
You will take him down. But that's what's so fun about it. They did such a great job of making you think you're making progress, but you're not really.
Yeah.
And so you think, oh, if I just stick another quarter in, I can win.
Yeah.
So Eugene Jarvis, Mark Turmel, these guys were leading this thing, and man, They yeah. were killing it.
Did you know that John Tobias may have been involved? Well, he was more involved in the next one, but still.
Yeah, he was totally. He was definitely involved in Total Carnage. I think he may have had a hand. I mean, in the other as well. John Tobias, if you don't know, co-creator, right? Co-creator is correct.
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, it's John Tobias and the other guy. I can't forget.
Yeah, he's the artist in Total Carnage. And I think I'm not 100% sure on this, but I think he might have did some work also. No, I wouldn't think so, though. These games were so far apart. I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know if he was involved or not.
I think I'm mixing my information.
Yeah, but John Tobias, big deal in the video games. And without him, you have no Mortal Kombat, probably. But this thing had a unique... I say unique. It had a great ripped-off Running Man vibe going about it.
There was not even a question if Eugene totally ripped off every 100% bit of Total Recall. Because, I mean, it's
obvious.
I mean, Running Man. Running Man.
Yeah, we've done Total Recall. That's the era. It's hard not to mix those two up.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's great. It's so much freaking fun, you guys. And now it would be a good time for me to just tell you that I believe the Super Nintendo version of the game is the superior version of the game. And I mean straight across the board, including arcade. I think it's more fun. I think it's tighter. It feels better. It's refined. It feels great on that controller. They made it work. The shoulder buttons for strafing, all that stuff. It's just a superior product on the Super Nintendo.
So we talked about the dual stick shooter aspect. Very important. Having one controller to control the movement of the character and one to aim in the direction you want to fire into. And that was kind of hard to emulate, especially on 8-bit systems like the NES and the Sega Master System and the Game Gear. Those all have a D-pad, but then they've only got two buttons on the other side, right?
Right.
And so the SNES had a really good setup. It was a D-pad and four face buttons, and you could use the four face buttons like a D-pad.
Yep.
And so it allowed you to move around pretty well. And like Scott said, you could do the strafing with the shoulder buttons. Now, I'm going to argue for just a second that it's not that important once you've played the Sega Genesis version for a minute. Now, the SNES version definitely had better sound. The Genesis version, a little crustier, but we know that about the Genesis in this era.
Yeah.
But I will argue just a little bit that the 3-button control system that they worked out, pretty smart and pretty good, and works fairly well with this game. So if you've ever seen the Sega Saturn, it's got D-pad. Saturn Genesis, if you've ever seen the Sega Genesis, it's got D-pad, and then it's got 3 buttons, ABC. Now, they did have the 6-button later on, but that's not configured for this game. We just got the 3 buttons. I think the A button allows you to, it's just the fire button. So you got your D-pad for moving around, A button, fire, and then the B button, by default, is set for what's called reverse. Yeah. So you literally just whatever way you're moving, you hit the reverse button, it shoots in the opposite direction.
Right.
So, and then you got C, which is lock.
Yeah.
Lock is how a lot of the 8-bit systems did. You just walked in and you walked around. And you was always faced in like one direction. So you just kind of had to keep your back towards the wall, which wasn't always a good idea with Smash TV. But I noticed when I did the reverse, it worked great because when I play Smash TV, I'm always walking backwards. I never go towards anything. I'm always walking opposite of the way I'm shooting. So the net sum is no difference for me because that's how I play with the dual stick anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
fair point. I think it can work, and I'm not saying it's the worst port of the game by any stretch. Any NES version is really the garbage. That's a bad game.
Oh, the 8-bit stuff.
Yeah,
like you said. Those were no good.
They couldn't handle all these damn audio sprites. It was just like glitchy sprites every 2 inches, and it's a mess. And one cool thing about it, I guess, sort of, was you could play it with 2 controllers. So if you were like, need this feeling of having 2 controllers in my hand, so I can do 1 stick here, 1 stick over there, you could do that with the NES version. Take 2 controllers and play it that way. Still sucked. Still bad.
Yeah, yeah. Have you ever tried to hold an NES D-pad in a single hand and try to, thumb that thing around? It's not the greatest experience. And it takes away your ability to do what is really great about Smash TV is where you can bring along a buddy. It's a 2-player game. You play together. You just destroy everything on screen. It's really a really good experience. Smash TV is a screen-to-screen game. You go into a room, and it's just you and a bunch of stuff coming in through doors. as you blow it up and having a friend with you, that's fantastic.
Oh, co-op is so good.
Yeah. Yeah. But when you have the two, with the NES only had two game ports, unless you had like a multi-tap adapter or whatever their version of it was. But then you had to have four controllers. You might as well just throw the whole system away. Just forget it. You can't do it. It's just get out of here.
It's a bad port.
I don't even
port.
Know if you could even do it.
No, it's a bad port. I wish it was better. It's not great. It didn't play to the strengths of the system. And this game needed more sprites.
Yeah, and that's where the Genesis comes in.
Yeah.
The Genesis is really fast. It's really fast sprite drawing. That was his deal. And so, like I said, I'm going to agree with you. I think it's universally understood that the SNES version is the best. I'm saying that the Genesis version ain't bad. It's right behind it. It's right there. And some things are even actually, I think, kind of work a little bit better. But overall, definitely goes to the SNES.
I'm going
to
complain
about
the fact that Smash TV has never gotten a modern treatment. And I'm not saying I want a first-person shooter or something. It's not what I mean. I want it to be like this, top-down, but do this in like some awesome, Unreal or Unity or some kind of cool engine. Three-quarter 3D, whatever. And then give me a true dual-stick experience like we have with all our new controllers.
Yes.
And then give me that game, like, tomorrow. I want that game. What was that sound? That was weird.
That was actually me trying to pull up the Xenocrisis Steam webpage and started playing the audio. It's 2019 Xenocrisis, no relation to this game other than it really wants to be Smash TV.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying though? Like, I want it to be the name. I want Smash effing TV.
Yes.
I want it to be a roguelike so it has like progression mechanics and weapon upgrades and a central hub for the thing, or maybe a little thicker story. You can go nuts with
it. No. Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, just go nuts with it, man. Why didn't they just backtrack and make a deal with whoever made the Running Man?
Yeah.
Because I would have definitely, if you had have brought me the Running Man Smash TV labeled whatever, I would buy it. I would love that. That would have been great.
Do you play the since you have a Master System now? Do you play that version at all?
I emulated it, so I didn't have the card or anything, but I did emulate it. How I played most of this week was on my PlayStation 2 Midway Arcade Treasures, which has it's got a like 20 classic arcade games, including Robotron 2084 and Smash TV, and it has a bunch of interviews with Mark and Eugene talking about this game, and it was a lot of fun. And since it was on my PlayStation 2, dual stick shooting, it's perfect because you got your two little analog sticks right there. Yep. It was a really great experience. It's fast, really arcade perfect.
Yeah,
sounded great. It was a great experience. PlayStation 2 version of Midway Arcade Treasures.
I may have to grab that.
Yeah, like that I said, you got a PS2. Right. Dude, yeah, this is the way to go. I think I got this on eBay. I forget. I think it was when I was doing, might have been Robotron, or was it Gauntlet? I can't remember.
Oh.
Joust 2. This has got all the good ones. Here's a hit list of everything that we've already played. And I've played this a couple of times in the past.
Yeah.
Let's see. We got some Gauntlet. We got Joust 1 and 2. Paperboy.
Mm-hmm.
The Robotron, which we talked about. It's got Sinistar. We haven't talked about that yet, but I want to.
No.
Super Sprint.
Sinistar. We got to do a Sinistar episode, dude.
We got to. Marble Madness. Didn't we do that one?
Yes.
If we didn't, we definitely did 720. So, I mean,
we did Marble Madness for sure. We've done that.
Yeah, this thing is a freaking beast of greatness. You should definitely get this particular one.
Okay, I'm in. I'm all in on that. Now, here's the thing. The game was a huge hit. People loved it. It was a smash, you might say. Sold really well, did really well. And some years later, people were sitting around going, yeah, what if we did a spiritual successor of sorts?
And I think it's a great idea. It's a fine idea, sir.
That sounded like this.
Total Carnage!
He said that the first time.
Yeah, well, he does. He says it in the first game, and he says it again in this.
Carnage!
Listen to some of this audio. Hold on. It's a lot of explosions. Hold on.
All we are making is baby milk!
What?
What'd he say?
I don't know.
Captain Carnage!
Yeah. All right, so Captain Carnage comes out, and he's your kind of namesake for this movie, or for this movie, for this game. Yeah,
Captain Carnage. You play as Captain Carnage, or is in Major Mayhem.
So Major Mayhem, yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Dumb name. Stupid name.
I think it's fantastic.
It is a this is basically like Commandos.
Yeah.
In that you're traveling places. This is no longer like in a closed set the way Smash TV was.
No, you're not screen to screen this time. You're going where you want.
Yep. It's bloodier, it's weirder. I don't think it's as good. It's not quite as it's not as tight of an experience as a gameplay experience. But from a visual standpoint and a kind of like, hey, Eugene Jarvis, how much weed are you on right now kind of standpoint, it's a great showcase for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there's some weird, look at the tongues coming out of this freaking dragon head. It's amazing.
This is, man, if you love Mortal Kombat, you got to come see John Tobias's influence on this badass thing, because it's still top down. Like Scott said, you're traveling north for the most part, doing pickups, but you're no longer trapped room to room. You're just doing your commando thing. And oh my gosh, if the last one was ramped up, this is ramped up even more. The thing I didn't care for, though, is I'm with you. This is not a polished experience, because the first one, they leaned to the theme. The theme was Running Man and, you know, that dystopian future of playing, for prizes. You were on a game show and you're playing for prizes. Everything revolved around getting cash and prizes and trying to survive. Here, you're attacking some dictator. You know, it was post which war was it? Which war was we doing? What did we do? Gulf War scenario.
I think it was Gulf War was the idea.
Yeah. So we did the Gulf War. So we're going after this dictator who is, I don't know who he's supposed to be. He's very generic.
His name is Richard Tater, but they called him Dictator.
Richard Tater, yeah. So, you know, and for some reason you're facing off against his bosses on the ground and the cities. It doesn't make nearly as much sense. Look, this guy looks like MODOK the more you destroy him, by the way.
I know, he's just basically MODOK the whole time. It's so dumb.
And, even the sound effects are not tied in. There's like all these cartoon slapstick boing, ding, you know, all these little, you know, all this slapstick kind of stuff that's just takes away from it.
Yeah,
it's just not the quarter pusher that I had. And look, I mean, at this, and you're watching, if you're watching now, if you could see it, the everything on screen is just exploding. It's mm-hmm. just, it's any types of any reason to just run blood everywhere and parts and gibs, just it's just all
it's also cheap. I don't know if you just watch that, but a bus comes by after the boss defeat.
Yeah.
And runs you over if you happen to be in the way. And if that's on your last life, you got to put another quarter in this damn game for that cheap trick.
But, well, cheap trick. But I do love is they did the same thing they did in the first one. In the first one in Smash TV, actually the second one, if you want to count Robotron, when you got killed sometimes, you would go flying towards the screen, your body parts, and your eyeballs would go flying up. God, it's always, someone was so badass about having body parts fly towards you like that.
No, the art's awesome. It makes me wish Tobias used this art style in Mortal Kombat instead of the photo cap stuff. I don't like it as much. I like this stuff.
If you've never seen Total Carnage, and you're forgiven if you haven't, this thing did not do nearly as well as Smash TV. It kind of flew under the radar in 1992. And it's worth testing out and going, oh, I see what we're trying to do here, but I don't know it really going anywhere on this one. I don't know if you'd want to like defeat it or nothing like that.
Yeah, maybe it's no, let's just say it's no Smash TV. That's all.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's
TV players.
Yeah, I don't even think it's a good commando. Like, I think it's
no.
It's a passable commando, but Commandos, I guess.
Yeah.
Is a better game.
Right.
And a more cohesive game and also a less chaotic game. That's one of the problems of this one I found when I was replaying it. I counted all my deaths because I was like, I want to see what this would have cost me in 92.
Yeah.
And it turns out it would have cost me a lot because you die constantly and not fairly. You die cheaply all the time because it's bullet hell. It's cheap tricks. It's this tank was moving slow and then suddenly it's moving fast. I can't see anything because these flames are everywhere. Yeah. And how am I ever going to survive? You know, how am I going to ever live? It's really ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
What they throw at you. But I kind of like it still. I don't know. It's hard to...
No, I'm with you. Now, if you have... This would have been a horrible experience in the arcade, like you said, of all the cheap tricks they use, because that hurts. You know, it's like, hey, wait a minute. It's going to cost me another freaking quarter to do this. Well, when you're at home, it's kind of funny, you know, right?
Yeah.
What's the cost of having to, you know, die? Just hit the button again, continue. That's cool. But this really didn't get ported to many places, unlike Smash TV.
No, I don't even know. Did this end up with major console releases? I don't think it did.
I think it did. And actually, I think it even got, there was a really weird one. I think it made it to the Jaguar or something stupid.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's all really weird. I'm like, okay, that's where they ended up. All right. But this one's way more fun as a multiplayer. Now, yeah. Smash TV, at the arcade, I didn't care for people to join in. I sent you a picture of why I don't like that in the Discord server.
Oh, let me pull that up.
Ago.
Oh, and while I'm doing that real quick, here are your ports. The Super Nintendo arcade, obviously. The next year, Super Nintendo. Same year, or just shortly after, Game Boy got a version. Amiga, Amiga CD32, MS-DOS, and then Jaguar, like you were correct about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see this image.
Way late for the Jaguar.
Where did you... is this from earlier? Before our hat discussion? Let's see.
Yeah. It was way before. Anyway, this was one of those generation of arcade games that were very narrow.
Yeah.
And so that picture encapsulated it. You're standing really close. Dual sticks. So it's still dual stick. So you got four sticks on a little board. And man, you are touching the guy who's next to you. You are really buddy-buddy with the guy next to you.
Look at sweater guy touching blue shirt man. Look at that.
Yeah, there is no room. There is no room for this. Yeah. And at home it's great because you got your own controller still on your side of the couch instead of my side of the couch. I don't want to sweat next to this guy. I'm fine with touching people, but you're definitely sweating when you're playing these games.
Oh, hell yeah.
I don't want to touch no sweaty guy. I don't want my hands touching somebody else's sweaty hand.
No, I'm with you. Uh-huh. This is a problem for me as well. Yeah. It's fine. It's a fine game, you guys. I don't want to be acting like we're poo-pooing it because it's not poo. We've talked about worse games, but it's not the classic that Smash TV is.
No.
Smash TV is like all time, right? Like
it's the greatest of all time. What are you talking about? I couldn't wait to do this on episode 80. I was like, Smash TV, we got to do it. Why did I? Oh, I know why Smash TV smashed my button.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're wanting to play this, you can play this on AntStream.
Oh,
which just came to the Xbox.
Yeah, that's
it's one of the most popular. It was because I was looking. I was like, oh, what's popular on AntStream on the Xbox and Smash TV. Was one of the most.
Oh yeah, it's got to be right. So good. Real quick here, there was a release planned for Genesis and Sega CD, but
why bother?
It says they were in development by Black Pearl Software. They were supposed to be published by Malibu Games. Neither port was officially released to the public for unknown reasons, despite being advertised and previewed in multiple game magazines that year.
I can tell you the reason. No one cared about going. Is that to the Gulf War? We're gonna go against the evil General Akabab and Akabab. Yeah, and it just wasn't a good idea. It just wasn't.
No, it wasn't a great idea. Real quick here, the prototype cartridge for the Genesis is currently owned by this Jason Wilson guy who owns a ton of memorabilia. So
love it.
That's out there.
And this game was not nearly as quotable with stuff like. Because I was like, I was so confused. So I'll buy that for $1 is a reference to something they say in RoboCop.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Here, they do it. They have the general. He comes on and says, I'd buy you for $1. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, but they also do that same line in Smash TV, right? They use that same line.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But it's and literally
let's
the
get
line.
On with it.
Bingo! Yeah!
No, it's there. I didn't copy it out, but there's a... I'd buy that for $1 while he's hugging on those two
ladies.
Yeah,
that's the real quote. Yeah. I'd buy that for $1. I'd buy you for $1.
How come they did that, though? How'd they get away with that? Why didn't the RoboCop people come down on them for that? That seems weird to me.
I know, and they were making their own game. What do they care, I guess?
I guess back then nobody cared.
Is this all fed back into the machine? Right? It's all in just good fun. I think it'd be really hard to sue Eugene Jarvis. He's just such a laid-back, fun kind of guy.
Yeah.
We're suing you. Okay, whatever.
Yeah. The reviews for this aren't great. The Jaguar game, did the best, it looks like. 8 out of 10.
Was that it came really late. I was like, was that a fan based game or something? It didn't look like it come through official channels.
No, an actual published on the Jaguar official deal.
Right.
But everything published there was weird. You know?
Yeah, well, they were doing some stuff with Williams anyway, right? That was a lot of things that made it to the Jaguar, so they probably just threw that in there. Yeah. And to top the deal off, we're going to have with you guys, we'll throw in Total Carnage.
Yeah, you want that Total Carnage? It's not really great. It's kind of shit. Right. But hey, you want it? And Atari said, yeah, we will take it. We'll do it.
We'll buy that for $1, they said.
We're building a toilet add-on for our CD, so we're ready for anything. okay, so there you go. Those two games are cool. Smash TV in particular, very cool and worth playing today. Yeah. I think I got really bunged up playing that SNES version, and I still kind of want to play it right now.
It was the way to go. Yeah, it was definitely real good. Like you said. Mm-hmm.
Real
and there's good. A great, by the way, if you are looking for a really good interview with Eugene Jarvis.
Yeah,
he wasn't the only person who did this game, by the way, Smash TV, but he is the most vocal about it. There's the Antstream. They did an interview with him not that long ago about the secret history of Smash TV. And I don't want to give away too much. It's still a pretty fairly recent article. So it's just really good stuff. So yeah.
Do you have a link to that someplace? We should give people a link to that. We know what it is.
Yeah. Antstream.com. And you just look through their blog section. It's the secret history of Smash TV with Eugene Jarvis.
I just put up our album art or our thumbnail art for today, and I'm showing this to people because I wanted to show the difference between the two cabinets. So the Smash TV cabinet, Total Carnage cabinet are actually quite different. There's a lot more room for you to play in the Total Carnage tool player thing. However, I want to say, because someone in the chat alluded to this, and it's true in my mind, I swear 90% of the times I would see Total Carnage in an arcade or something, it was in a Smash TV cabinet. Like,
right,
they just
these were, I think this system that is running this one, I think got a start with NARC, and I think it's still running the same system.
Oh, I love NARC so much.
Yeah, I think that's what I remember in my deep dive.
NARC made me feel like I was rebellious and like cool when I played that game. Like my parents couldn't, you know, they weren't there watching me play NARC, man.
Right.
NARC was cool, had drugs in it.
And, so cool. Money. I almost said maybe we should include NARC if it wasn't just so different.
Yeah, NARC is very different.
These other two games.
NARC is way different. NARC may deserve its own.
NARC.
We ought to do like a top three arcade controversial crime ridden games that were crime based, you know?
Right.
And then so it'd be like NARC, I can't even, I know there's more.
All Points Bulletin.
Oh, shit. That's a good one.
Yeah.
What's another one? There's another one.
Give us the third one out there at playretroshow@gmail.com.
Yeah. Crime. It was, you know, warning before you could play. People in Congress didn't like it. You know, whatever. we want to talk about those. I like that kind of stuff.
We should totally talk about that. Couple more things about Smash TV. Some of my favorite trivia is... talking about Total Carnage was not doing well. It didn't sell a lot of cabinets.
Yeah.
And man, Turmel couldn't wait to get out of there and do his NBA Jam. I think that's one of the things that hurt it too. I think they just like just put some sounds in there. What we got? The greatest Bugs Bunny sound effects. Throw that in there.
Yeah.
Let's just get the hell out of here. Pleasure Dome. Do you remember that? Did you ever make it to the Pleasure Dome?
Yeah.
Not in the first couple of revisions of this game for Smash TV or Total Carnage. There's a Pleasure Dome there, I believe, as well.
Really?
You pick up keys. Yeah, you pick up keys along the way.
Yeah.
And you were supposed to go to the Pleasure Dome. Original releases, no Pleasure Dome.
It's a shame.
It wasn't until later on when management found out and said, what? You're teasing these people, because they talk about it all through the game, talking about the Pleasure Dome and stuff. They did that. They added the Pleasure Dome.
So. Oh, I found some confirmation about John Tobias. Check this out. Mark Turmel, he's the he's your other principal there.
Yeah, right.
Recounted this quote: When Hasbro pulled the plug on an interactive movie project I was working on, I went to Williams to design coin-op games. I moved to Chicago, hired John Tobias, and together we did our first co-op, Smash TV.
There you go. So there he was in Smash TV.
Yeah, it says the announcer in the game is voiced by sound designer Paul Heish. I'm not sure how you say it.
Heish.
The script was created for the game by the game's composer and sound designer, John Hay. And the Pleasure Dome, they go into the Pleasure Dome thing as well. But
yeah.
Anyway, this thing was every platform got this thing. Atari ST, the Amiga, Commodore 64, ZX Spectrum, NES, as we mentioned, Game Gear, Master System, all those. Genesis, NES, all of it. It's crazy. And that has like scores in the 90s, that game.
Yeah.
So good, dude. Oh my gosh.
So good. So good.
I really want a new one. I'm sorry. I want a modern take. That's what I want.
I was looking for ones that are like this, right?
There's
so
tons.
I was like, what
tons
is
of dual stick shooters. Like, you could look at all of them. You could look at Geometry Wars. You could look at the Tesla game. All these games take something from Smash TV. They just do.
Right.
So
did you ever play Nex Machina?
I did. That's a great game.
I think that's a great game.
It's made by those guys.
It's more updated graphics. Right.
It's those Sony guys. They did the one with the planets.
Yeah.
It was a PS3 game. And it was to compete with the Geometry Wars, and you'd fly around that planet and blow up asteroids, basically. What was that called? Ugh. And then they did the other one, the PS4 game that launched with the game Rez. Oh, basically that game was like a Defender take.
Right.
Forgot the name. We talked about it on that show. Anyway, I forgot their name. I love those guys. Make them make it.
I love how you say it. Put them in a pleasure dome and make them make it.
Yeah. Shut those doors, close all those pleasures.
Get in there.
Yeah. Close all the pleasure windows. Keep them in there.
Yeah. Keep them in there till it's done.
All right. Let's get to what's next here today. We're going to do a little game. It's called Guess My Game. It's audio from a game, and here it is.
Destroy it.
It's an old game. We take an old one and we try to just sort of stump each other. We got three questions each. We can also give away certain hints if the person who has the game is pleased to do so, but he doesn't have to. We're going to start this week with me. Arcade game 1995. All right.
Arcade game 1995. That's kind of late, right? It's a little late.
A
little later than later than I was playing arcades. By that point in time, I was moved on for the most part.
I was playing them, but not like I used to,
Yeah. I mean, I would play them if I was in the... wasn't even in the mall at that point in time. I don't know. If I came across if I was at the beach, there we go. If I was at the beach where the big arcades were, I would go into the arcade. But at that point in time, I wasn't going like all the time.
I always worried about beach arcades in humid beach towns.
Oh man. Yeah, that's okay. Because most of the only thing that got any play was those freaking coin sliders.
I hate those. So
that's where everybody was playing.
Oh, I hate them. They got a giant pile out front. I just want to shake that shit. Yep. And then get in trouble.
I need a shirt that says shake that shit. Then I need to go to Myrtle Beach.
Yep.
To the arcade.
Yep.
And just walk up to one of those machines and just look like I'm struggling.
They're such a scam. I hate them. Anyway, here's mine. Let's see if you can figure it out. Again, arcade, 1995.
Arcade.
Here you go.
1995.
There's been a kidnapping. It's Rachel, the daughter of the president of Sertia. Get into the castle and rescue Rachel. Sometime, somewhere, someone is plotting a government overthrow. A small republic is in danger. It's time for the one-man army. Richard Miller.
Good Lord, what is this?
All right.
She must be dead by now.
This stuff's great. There's more.
Don't come!
Rachel McPherson.
Since you have traveled
was
so
this
very
released
far,
in the U.S.?
I mean,
it's English speaking, but...
Hell yeah. I'll tell you, this is Japanese development. That may help you.
Yeah. I definitely was getting that vibe, right?
Yep. Here's some more dialogue.
Wild Dog.
Wild Dog is the guy's name.
Is this like a top-down shooter?
That is your first official question, and the answer to that is no.
Interesting.
Here's some more from gameplay.
Is it a light gun game?
Get him! I'm gonna say yes. It is a light gun game.
Okay.
You're on a good path there. If you're talking about light gun games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
95.
Yep. 1995. Rachel, the daughter of the president.
Get into the. I don't know this story, but God, I feel like I should. I've never heard any of this, but it sounds so familiar. They must have got a guy that was like doing all kinds of voice work for movies and everything else, because that guy's voice sounds real familiar.
Don't look at the chat, because we got someone who got someone nailed it. In fact, I'm going to say the first person who got this is going to get a free game code today.
Oh, very good.
Okay, yeah, so we should start doing that every week. Give it whoever gets it first in the chat. Now, you've already done one. You've done one question is all. So you have
okay,
two.
One. Light gun game. Does it start with a letter D?
Does it start with the letter D?
Yeah. The game name.
No.
Wow. You just really taking a long time.
Well, I'm trying to make sure there's not like a variation on it with a D. I don't think
Oh, no, I wouldn't know. English title of the game.
Start with a D. No, it does not.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
So that's the second question. You got a third.
Right. Jesus.
Let me play that gameplay for you again, okay? Not the talking, but this.
Action!
I got it.
Okay.
All right. Does it involve action?
Yep. Yep, it does. It's very action-oriented, turns out.
I'm going to go with, this is absolutely the 1995 hit Smash game in arcades by a Japanese developer, Harmasar.
Yeah, Harmasar.
Yeah, Harmasar. the game that didn't start with a D, it was Carnal Knowledge.
Let's see if it's carnal. Is it Carnal Knowledge? Incorrect. It is not Carnal Knowledge. It is Time Crisis.
Oh, Time Crisis.
Time Crisis.
Oh, I've seen Time Crisis. I don't think I've ever played Time Crisis.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
And here's what I want. Here's what I want to do. I want to give a code away to Ron Wood, Skits 319.
Oh, it's on the Sega. Right. Does it make it Sega Saturn or something?
Oh, I don't know. Might have. Yeah, it did. I think it made on. It made
yeah,
it on.
Yeah,
that
is what I'm thinking of. Oh, yeah, I do know this one. Oh, I just never
Namco,
played it in the arcade.
Baby. Yeah, it was Namco. It was their big. They competed with Virtua Cop.
Right. Oh, Jesus. We got to do this as a whole freaking series of these dang things.
I agree. That's why
I've definitely played one of these.
Here's what I want you to do, Ron Wood, Skits 319. If you have me in Discord, what's already that? Friend it up, send me a DM. If you don't, I'm Frog Pants in there, and it's no big deal to send me one. I'm happy to take it. I will send you a code for a free video game of some sort. I don't know what it will be yet. But
Skits
something.
Is a beast, by the way, at guessing these things. Got an amazing ear.
Yeah, I'm impressed. I'm impressed that you got this at all, to be honest. Because I would have guessed Virtua Cop or Area 51 or something.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going with. I was trying to think of what it. I don't know.
Well, let's see if you can stump me in a similar way, Brian. What's your game?
Oh, mine's going to be probably easier, but we'll see. Maybe. The game is where's my notes at? Oh, it is a PC. So mine's you've come in from the beach arcade,
yeah,
and you've let 2 years pass, and now you're on your PC playing your proto web with 1997.
Okay.
Do it.
97 PC, yeah. Here we go.
Open for business.
97. Mm-hmm. Is this a first-person perspective?
Correct.
Okay.
It's a first-person perspective.
Is this blood?
Yes, blood.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Good one.
Nobody in the chat got it.
I gave you a really hard one last week and said I'll make it a little easier this week.
Yeah, no, I played Blood. That's why this is familiar. Yeah. I loved Blood back in the day.
Yeah.
This was that. See, this is like what I'm talking about with the games that are a little bit like contraband. We're not supposed to be playing
these. Yeah.
You know? Your parents would be like, I don't want you playing a game called Blood. And you're like, I'm going to Billy's house to play Blood, but I'm going to tell my parents we're playing soccer or something like that.
Yeah, soccer.
Blood soccer. I can't believe I got it in one guess. I'm so excited.
I think I've only played this. I don't even know if I ever got the whole thing. I think I've only played the shareware version of this. By the way, I found a CD today that had like 30 titles of shareware on it. And I was like, I was at the place and I was like, it's 50 cents. And I was like, what am I going to do with this? Get out of my hand. I can't take you home.
Was it
you and your shareware?
Wasn't there a second one, Blood 2? I think
I believe there was. I believe it was a whole series of Blood, and it's one of the ones I kind of want to do.
The Chosen, I think.
See if I'm... was that just an expansion pack then? I didn't know a lot. I played just, like I said, only played just a little bit. Oh, Cryptic Passage was published.
Oh, here it is. Blood 2, The Chosen. First-person shooter game. Mm-hmm. Developed by Monolith, distributed by GT. It was, unlike the first installment, Blood, set in 1928. This took place in the year 2028.
Yeah.
In the future.
In the future.
Science fiction-y stuff, cyberpunk elements, dystopian fiction, significant amount of graphic violence and black humor.
Oh.
Yeah, black humor.
Black humor.
Yeah, I don't think they mean like, you know, black humor.
Yeah. Like, no, black humor. Like, is this film noir? No. Yeah. Okay. It's like that.
I'm thinking like, who's the guy that died? I used to love
Inky.
Him. Who is the dude? He had his own show, his own sitcom for a while. He was in, oh, so many movies. What was his name? I loved that guy and he died way too early.
We're going to start doing these shows early in the day. Me and you were both like, by this time of the day, it's kind of late in the afternoon for me and Scott, so it's kind of like, duh.
I don't remember shit.
I got no more brains left.
I was so much sharper this morning. I had everything.
Oh, my God. I was so sure. This morning, I felt so good. I was like, I'm going to talk about this. I'm going to hit this point. This point is going to be so good, and we're going to know everything. It's going to be awesome.
Chat room with their eyes, Rise of the Triad guest. Pretty close. It's a lot like that in my estimation. Okay. Although it was 3D, I think. Blood was like full-on Quake-style 3D, I think.
Right. They used the, the Kex engine?
Yes, it was the first. Yeah. It was the early Monolith thing, which they would... Yep. Monolith would eventually develop the Crytek engine, right?
It was Ken Silverman's build engine, right? Thing. It was like Duke Nukem, Shadow Warrior. Remember those?
Yeah.
Remember Shadow Warrior?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Should have been Shadow Warrior. Dang it.
Shadow Warrior. Oh, here it is. Okay, Warner Brothers owns them now. Monolith, here we go. Jace Hall was there? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot I don't know about things. I want to say they're, where is it? Middle Earth, Shadow of Mordor. That's them. And they're making a Wonder Woman game right now. Yeah. That could be cool. Their first game was Blood.
I wonder if it would be any good.
They started with Blood. That's cool. Oh, look what they did. Yeah. Okay, Blood, then Claw, then Get Medieval, then Shogo. Claw. Remember Shogo?
I do remember Shogo.
Mobile Armor Division, and then you got to your Blood 2, then Grunts.
Yeah.
And then they started getting some big money, and they did Tex Atomics Big Bot Battles.
Big Bot Battles. Big Bot Battles.
Bad Bot Battles. Alien versus Predator in 01. No One Lives Forever 2 and No One Lives Forever 1, 2000 to 2002. Those are amazing games.
No One Lives Forever as well.
Those were so good. They were like James Bond ripoffs, but they were fantastic. Oh. Tron 2.0. Oh my gosh, I love these guys.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and then they made Fear. Of course, they made the Fear 1, Fear 2, and Fear 3.
And Fear No More.
Yep. Gotham City Imposters. That was fun until.
Oh, that was. That was such potential. God, I really wanted that game to work. It just had so many technical issues.
Yeah, that bummed me out when that went away.
But it was so good.
Didn't feel like they didn't give it the try they should have.
It died on the vine. Somewhere along the lines, they had a really good start, and then something happened, and it just didn't go any further, and it was just too bad because the early parts of that game were so good.
Yeah, and I'm going to blame, let me tell you who I'll blame for that.
I'm
going to blame Warner Brothers for that.
Yeah, that's the easy pick. Yeah, let's blame Warner Brothers.
I always blame them first.
Yeah.
Oh, Skits, I got your DM. Thank you for that. I will send you a code shortly.
Oh, you slide into Scott's DM there? You won't let me slide.
You slid in. He slid right in. Well, it's looped up, too, so it's easy to slide in.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
It's fine.
Skits. He skits right in there.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Let's see. Let's move on to... Oh, we got some feedback here.
Welcome to the Treasure Room.
And by feedback, I don't mean like audio feedback, you know. I mean,
We didn't get no flack either, right?
No flack.
Okay, good.
No particulates. It's going good. Anyway, here's an email from Jonathan Gilbert. He goes by Pactus in the community. He says, hello, Scott and Brian. I just came in with some birthday money and was taking a look at the Ambernick lineup. I've been trying to dig through the backlog of podcasts to find which model you guys have been touting, and I can't seem to find it. Would you do me a solid and remind me what model or models you are currently recommending? Love the show. Can't wait for more. Regards, Jonathan. It's the 35, sorry, Ambernick.
Yeah. RG35XX.
It's a horrible name for any product ever. All right?
Yes.
It's a bunch of letters and numbers.
It's not great.
Yeah. So RG35XX.
Double X.
That's the one everybody's raving about. Although you're messing with that new one with the two sticks, right? I haven't got it in,
but I may put that on pause for just a second because I'm really tempted. I didn't know that Odin, those guys that were making that the Odin thing there,
yeah,
the handheld console that did really well last year, and they're making another one. They're making one called Loki.
And it is
very reasonably priced and kind of sexy. So
I have a link to this. I want to see this.
Yeah, Ain Loki. I'll send you a link here in just a second.
Send me a link.
It's very competitive with the other people, but you remember you talked about the software being a problem?
Yeah.
I think Ain does pretty good with that. So I'm going to send this to you. Let's see. Where are you at here? There you are, Scott. Get in there.
Yeah,
put linked. That in. You've been linked.
Let me take a look here. Let me see this.
Is this not pretty?
It is sexy.
I want the white one, too. It's a Ryzen 6600 chip.
So is this a lower spec than the other one? This is meant for lower-end stuff, or what? Do you know?
I'm not sure. I haven't looked at all the specs yet. I'm not sure where it's going to end up at. This one's still in pre-order, the one I just sent you. I think they got a light Loki as well that is much less. Let me see, where's that?
Oh, this is gonna zero, this supports Windows even, so this might be more powerful actually.
Yeah. The Loki Zero's in pre-order still. The Mini Pro, I think you can buy now.
I want Windows this.
10. There's a bunch of options, but I'm looking at these Lokis on AYN, AYN. Their website is AYNTEC.com.
Sexy,
but Loki
hot.
Is a new version.
So Loki, the Odin is what, old news now or what?
Pretty much, but they got different versions of this too. Oh, they got the Odin Light. Oh, you know what? The Odin Light maybe one I've looked at as well because it's got this really nice little white but retro look.
Yeah, like
$199.
This.
You know, $199 is very competitive with some of the other ones that they're kind of competing with. I'm not a big fan of the staggered. Thumbsticks, though, you know,
yeah,
the thumbstick
is
high on the left, a D-pad in the bottom, and then on the right hand side, the face buttons are at the top, and then the analog stick is at the bottom. I'm not a big fan of that layout.
Me neither. I want them both up high, is what I want.
Yeah, I want them either both up high,
I don't like them low, though. Low bugs me. I want them high.
Low bugs me.
Yeah. Low bugs me.
Yeah. Low bugs
me. I like the way the Steam Deck does it. I like where those are.
Steam Deck is good.
It looked bad when I first saw it. I saw that Steam Deck before it launched, and I went, those are way too high up there.
Those are way too high, old man. You put your pants way too high.
And then I end up loving where they put them. They're great.
Right.
All right. Well, keep your eye on that. But if you're looking for like the, you know, sub-$100, sub-$70 device, I still think Ambernick is the bomb. I love mine.
Yeah, the RG35XX for, you know, $70 shipped.
Yep.
Is a no-brainer. You get all the way up to the PS1 era games possibilities. And they're also got a few other, they're working on a couple other possibilities. Maybe go a little bit further. We'll have to see.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I'd love N64 support on there if they could. That'd be great.
Yeah. That's the dream, right?
Yeah. But you don't have an analog stick. So that makes it tricky. I don't know.
Yeah. That's why I usually tell people, it's like, we should put N64 on there. I'm like, no, you don't. You don't want that on there. There's no analog stick. You'd have to have an external controller. You wouldn't want that.
And I'm so over the moon in love with Garlic OS that I kind of don't want to use the Android thing. I just don't want to use it.
I don't like Android that way.
That way, yeah. I like it fine for lots of things, but I don't like it for that. All right. Moving on to this email, another quick one. This is from Bill Edwardson.
Bill.
He could be Edward Bilson, for all we care.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, he says, hey, guys, with the popularity of retro gaming growing and movies like Mario becoming hits, it's got me thinking about what older games could make a fun movie. My pick is this. Now, hear me out. Streets of Rage 2, or just the series Streets of Rage. If they leaned heavily into the ridiculousness of the characters and story, including the weird alien stuff in 2, it could be great. I'd love to see the bad guys, the Signals, YPD, Typhoon, and all. The main characters, Max, Axel, Blaze, and Skate. I think it's prime for great cheesiness. What would you pick? Thanks for everything, Bill.
I think Streets of Rage, Soar 2 is a really good pick. In fact, such a good pick that the creator of John Wick is doing just that. Streets of Rage video game movie.
Shut up.
It's still early on. But as of an article from Variety last year, there was discussion just that. So I think he's maybe secured the go-ahead, but not much more than that. So I'm pretty excited about
that. It's the studio that brought you the two Sonic movies. It's another Sega property. That makes sense. John Wick creator and writer Derek Kolstad reportedly wrote the script on spec without the deal. They didn't have a deal yet, but let's see. Escape Artist, the studio behind the Equalizer franchise, is on board to produce. Oh my gosh, this is happening, I think.
Yeah. As long as nothing goes sideways, it looks good. So, you know, it's been really choppy waters the last couple of years.
Well, except Streets of Rage definitely goes sideways. Get it?
Yeah.
It's a side-scrolling fighting game. I'd be all down for this game. I think that'd be great.
Yeah, without thinking really much, I am like just immediately, I want a Luigi's Mansion so bad. I mean, please just make that movie. I know that's low hanging fruit. That's not thinking outside the box, but give me it. That's what I want.
I think it's fine. I would do. I'm going to ask for something weird.
Oh, do it. Give me something weird.
I want a Hollow Knight game. Now, I know that's not an old game, though, because it kind of breaks the rule a little bit. It's sort of newish, but I love the style of that game, and I would love to see kind of a spooky take on that Metroidvania classic everyone loves.
I would like to see also some you know, young girl trying to move to the city and make it, but she's having to take care of Kirby. I would watch that. And he's just constantly causing mayhem, right?
Yeah, dude. He's sucking up everything. Who ate the toilet? Oh, Kirby, you little bastard.
She's just trying to make it in the city, trying to be taken seriously, and Kirby is just effing it all up.
Yep. And then some portal opens and all the bad Kirby creatures come through, and now Kirby's going to save everybody after all the embarrassment. Right. Yeah. Dude, I'm all in on Kirby. Let's do it.
Yeah. And then Kirby saves the day in the end. You know, he sucks up her would-be the Devil Wears Prada boss.
Yep.
And, you know, and he takes on her powers. And, you know, just the whole thing just ends up really as a feel-good movie at the end.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
And, I love my Kirbys. I'm a big fan.
Oh, Kirby's a no-brainer. Yeah. I mean, that's a brilliant.
I sent Brian a Kirby. I did some art last night. I did some Kirby. You guys want to see this here?
Oh, yes, please.
I'll put it up.
But while you're pulling that up, I would also, after watching the Mario movie, I think Mario 2 should be like a Cars reboot, but with Mario Kart, right? I mean, something like that.
Just, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, it needs to be, yeah.
I mean, I don't want talking cars, but I want more focus on the cars. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm infinitely, I'm never not interested in Kirby things.
Right, Kirby would just be, I would love a Kirby movie. He's so hilarious.
Yeah,
I mean, it's great. It just never gets old. I don't know why it's hilarious for him to, you know, vacuum stuff up, but it makes me laugh.
Yeah, Kirby's great.
Yeah.
I even did the gelatinous cubes from D&D. Yes. I did one called the gelatinous curb.
The gelatinous curb.
Yeah. And it's Kirby, but it's here, I'll show you. Kirby pants. Nope, cube. Here we go.
Kirby pants are great. I love the Kirby pants. If you haven't seen those, that's a good one.
That's a good one. Here you go, Brian. I'll put it in here for you. Okay. There it is. Anyway, I like that one. And you could make a whole movie about,
I remember this one. This is really good.
Look, you know what I'm most proud of there? With the green side of it over there, which isn't even Kirby.
Right.
Those bones in there. I like how they look like they're deep.
Oh, I did. Yeah, you're right. I didn't notice it at first. But now I just clicked on the link because Discord made it super small.
Oh, did it?
Oh, weird. Now I can see it the full. Now I see there's bones and everything. That's fantastic.
That was a lot of fun to make. I didn't sell very many of them, but that's okay.
I like that.
All right.
I think we ought to put on the old web. We ought to also make sure that My Extra Life is on the old web. That was me. That was in full swing by 95 to 2000.
Full bloom,
right?
In, when did I start that comic? No, it was 2000, so it was a little later.
Oh, dang it. Okay.
Well, early enough, right? Though. Early enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before that,
PvP
though.
PvP online, maybe? I don't know.
98, 99, I was doing that Real Tunes comic.
Oh, the Real Player is on the proto web.
Oh, Real Player, so, yeah. But no one likes Real Player is a black eye on that era. It's a garbage player. Freaking no one likes that thing. It sucks. But Real Tunes, now that was a cool cartoon I made.
Real Tunes was the name of your comic, right? But you were doing it for who? It was for
a mod for Unreal Tournament called Infiltration, which was like this realistic military mod.
Right.
And I made like jokes about people playing that shooter.
Right.
Who
was you doing that for at the time?
Just for the mod makers, just for funds.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wasn't anything.
I thought you worked for some, I thought you was doing some contract work for some of those.
Not that thing. And I did podcast. Infiltration Radio was my first real show that I was putting up, and it was in 99, and it was for that mod. And it was just, I was just part of the community and really liked it, so started making stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Interviewing the developers and whatnot.
You guys make games.
I don't know what those guys are up to now, but they were cool. I liked them all. Anyway, if you want to send us an email, you can playretroshow@gmail.com. If you'd rather text us, you can 801-471-0462. We'll take it either way. And I would like to now give you the happy news. Next week, we are going to talk about the NES peripherals that you knew and loved. Light Gun, Rob the Robot, the Power Glove, and more.
And more. Don't forget about the blight of them trying to give you the homework first bullshit.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Locked you out so you could do look homework first. Yes. Get real. Come on, Nintendo. Get out of my face.
That was dumb. That was dumb. But they had a lot of interesting ideas for peripherals. And some of them worked and some of them were crap. And we'll talk about which ones worked. The light gun in particular worked really well for what it did. And I would say Rob the Robot. Neat for what it was sort of supposed to be, but
Rob the Robot,
not really that cool. What do you think the worst peripheral Nintendo ever made was? Like peripheral, not system, but like
right. Add-on. I think it's really easy to say anytime any of this 8-bit, 16-bit era decided they wanted to try to delve into the VR world.
Yeah,
that was bad.
That was bad.
Just across the board.
Sega's version of that. They had that little ring you had to dance around in called the Reactor. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That thing sucked.
Yeah, anytime any of these guys try to make you exercise too, we just weren't ready for that yet. And it's like, oh, we got a thing where you can jump around and do the thing. No thanks.
No thank you. Goodbye, we say to them.
Good. Oh, I did see something really cool today while I was out and about. This has nothing to do with that, but it's retro as hell. Mm. I almost picked it up just to have. It was an 8-track cartridge that
you could put
a cassette tape into.
What?
You would take your cassette tape, and it was an adapter that you could put into your 8-track.
That is
wild.
I'm
like, what fresh hell is this?
That's terrible. Because then you wouldn't have the advantages of the cassette over the 8-track. You would just treat it like an 8-track. It'd be like, you know, when we had CDs with a tape adapter for our cars for that changeover.
Terrible.
Yeah, idea. What were we doing? What were we thinking? Life. What even is it?
Make it in the day to day.
That'll be next week. Real quick, shout out to our patrons. Patreon.com/playretro is the place to go. And I'd like to welcome these two brand new folks who joined us this fine day. Brain, but with an H. Brain.
Oh,
Brain.
I like that. Yeah.
Not sure how you say it. And David Verwer. David Verwer. Verwer. It sounds like shareware, but I can't say it right. Anyway, you guys are awesome, and you'll get all the benefits by being a patron and a supporter of the show. No commercials ever on the feed that we put up there for audio. You get pre-show content just like today, and every time we do a show, we'll give you that. Monthly benefits that you can only get if you sign up today at patreon.com/playretro. Everything else can be found on our website. That's at playretro over at frogpants.com/playretro. All right. I think that'll do it. Brian, anything else you'd like to add to the... thing?
Yeah, I want one of these Konami laser scopes where you wear the stupid helmet on your head and you yell blast firepower or something and it shoots like the gun. I want one of those.
You want that?
Laser scope.
Laser scope. All right, let's get it. Also, a quick shout out to Taz in our community who made this cool thing I just put up just now called Hey Retro, which tells you where to email us and call us and stuff. He's really talented dude, and I love everything he does.
Skills.
Yeah, look at our little pixel
community. This community, man.
I want our little pixel guys to run around and do shit, though. Don't you?
Yeah.
Look at them.
Let's do it.
I don't know why I look like Grizzly Adams, but whatever. I'll take it. Okay. Yeah, there you are with your backwards hat and your little fuzzy beard. It's fantastic.
I'm predictable. I'm predictable.
If nothing else, that's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. Go play something retro, and we'll see you next time.
Buy that for a dollar.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Total carnage! Bingo! Yeah!
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.